recording this on a phone, so it will be what it is. But this is not the first time I've had to do this for the podcast. So this is the third time I've had to do this for the podcast. Welcome to the Android Police Podcast for May 17th, 2024. I am not Daniel Bader, who is out this week as anticipated, as we left you on a cliffhanger last week. I'm Will Saddleberg. I am coming at you. Well, that's part of the story. We'll talk about where I am at a second. It's I.O. week. That's what we're here to talk about. It is everything AI. There are some Android 15 announcements that I don't even think we're going to get to this week. My Pixel 8 review went live. I think that's all next week's stuff. So if you were tuning in to hear about Google hardware, well, you will be just as disappointed as everyone who watched the I.O. keynotes. Joining me this week is the mobile... let me make sure I get this right. Mobile section editor? Is that good?
I think officially it's section editor, comma mobile, but I'll take all mobile right. Section editor.
All right. Mobile section editor, comma mobile.
There you go.
At Digital Trends, Joe Maring, also a dear friend of mine. How are you doing, Joe?
I'm good. I'm also not Daniel Bader or Will Saddleberg, but I'm good. It was my first in-person I.O. this year.
Yes.
And yeah. I'm tired, but... I'm not stuck in a Marriott in Dallas, I think is where you're at. So I'm coming out so ahead for both of us.
Joe over here doxing my location that I will not be at. Well, if you know what? I actually don't want to say I won't be here when this goes live because I feel like that is summoning some bad energy.
I really hope you're not there still.
I hope so too.
I really hope not.
So a funny thing happened as I was leaving California. Dallas, which is where my layover was hit by thunderstorms that resulted in both my flight from San Jose and my flight home to Buffalo being delayed. Joe, you know this. You know this part of the story so far. You do not know everything. You do not know how fun my night was last night.
I'm so nervous.
And Jules, you can cut what needs to be cut out of this. But American Airlines decided, hey, we're not going to wait to find out if you can make it. Good luck.
Nice.
Funny thing about when there are lots of delayed and canceled flights because of weather is that most of the hotels are also booked. The flight to Buffalo had been pushed back again to 9 p.m.
Oh, God.
I could have made the flight.
Incredible.
But American Airlines had already canceled my seat on the flight. I asked the gate manager where my checked luggage is. And they say, it will be on the baggage claim that we were assigned in Dallas. So I checked my bag tag. It says that it has been loaded onto a plane headed to Buffalo.
No.
And I am reassured that it's being held for that flight tomorrow. I cannot get my bag because it will be a 4 to 8 hour process and it is 8 p.m.
Oh my God.
I tried to use the shuttle service that Marriott offers. The shuttle never showed up. It was midnight local time. And I said, hey, that Buffalo flight definitely landed a few minutes ago. Let me just check my bag number.
Mm-hmm.
And it says offloaded in Buffalo.
God. Thank you, American Airlines.
The reason that it sounds like I'm recording on a phone right now is because I am, because of course the microphone that I had with me to do this podcast when we were originally going to do it in person, Joe, mm-hmm. was in that bag,
nice.
Along with some other work equipment. So this wasn't even just clothes, etc. There is a mm-hmm. lot of stuff in that bag. I did have my mom, who lives about an hour away from the airport, drive to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to my mom.
Thank you, Will's mom.
Shout out to moms everywhere. Happy belated Mother's Day. And my bag is at my house in Buffalo.
Well, there's a happy ending.
It's a happy ending. I'm not there, but all my stuff is. And it is, everything's in there. It has been verified. Nothing has been taken out, as far as I can tell. So, yeah, I have a flight in about 5 hours as we record this that hopefully won't be canceled or delayed. And I'll be home tonight. That's the plan, at least. But that is how we capped Google I.O. off.
Yeah, this is much worse than you getting home, like, at 1 a.m. when you were supposed to. This is so much worse than what I thought it was going to be. I feel like if we had more Gemini integrated throughout this, we could have avoided so many problems. But hopefully that will resolve this from not happening in the future for you.
I'll tell you what, I really would love it for Gemini to call American Airlines support on my behalf to ask for travel credits, which I will be doing when I get to the airport later.
As you should.
As I should. We'll see how that goes. But anyway, okay. That's a great pivot point, Joe. Let's talk about Google I.O. because that's what people really want to talk about. I'm sorry if that story was boring.
This isn't the Will Saddleberg travel podcast. I'm in the wrong spot, I think.
Yeah, you yeah, exactly. both of us were in the audience. Not together. Not seated together. I was with the fine people at Android Central. Myself and Taylor Kearns from AP were sitting with Shruthi and Derek and Nick, among others from Android Central. I actually don't know where you were. You walked away at one point.
I was with Dean from Mobile Syrup.
Mobile Syrup, of course.
You
of
Android
course.
Folks have to stay together, apparently.
Yes, that's right. That's right. We do. It's a team. What were your big picture thoughts before we get into some specific announcements on the Google I.O. keynote 2024?
Big picture thoughts. It was kind of not super interesting. I've been trying to think about like if this was a good keynote for I.O. because I.O. is obviously a developer conference. Like, this is for developers who are very much into a lot of technical things, and like that's always been the point of I.O. But I feel like previous year's keynotes have been a lot more accessible to basically anyone. Like, I feel like if I could go to any year's previous opening keynote for I.O., there's at least a handful of like really big kind of user facing products or updates that are easy to point at and get excited about.
I agree.
This year felt like it really got into the weeds for a lot of technical things. There was talk of tokens and gems and Gemini 1.5.
Lots of parameters.
Yes. Gemini 1.5 Pro, which is different from Gemini 1.5 Flash and I think better.
It is better, but maybe not as fast.
Yes.
As Flash. Yeah.
A lot of technical in the weeds stuff. It felt like there were a lot of segments that were repeating the same demos and examples that they had just shown off like 5 minutes ago. I think we saw demonstrations of AI and Gemini can help you plan a vacation at least 3 times, maybe more.
Google is trying to send a message that we all need to take more vacations. And honestly, I can get behind it.
I mean, hey, when AI summarization kills our jobs, we'll have plenty of time to go on vacation. So
oh my God.
This is all going to work out really well.
I don't even think I put AI overviews in the show notes, but mostly because I don't want to think about it.
No. There were a few things here and there that caught my eye and seemed interesting, but it just seemed like this year more than any other previous year was very technical, not really focused. There was so much AI, but I don't know if Google really knows the ultimate goal for this. Like, there are a lot of small things here and there. There's AI in Google Photos and Gemini and Gmail and all these tiny little features and stuff, but
yeah,
it didn't feel like there was a I wasn't sold on why I should really care too much about most of what was talked about.
To your point about demos repeating, you know, even if you are bullish on the idea of AI being the future of all consumer technology, which I am sure some of our listeners are, and to a certain extent, I mean, even just from the fact that every company is embracing it, I guess I am too, even if I don't know how positively or negatively I mean it. Even if you were like, I wanted Google I.O. to be 2 hours of AI announcements, you know, put OpenAI in its place.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really unorganized show. Kept going, developer, consumer, developer, consumer, and like mm-hmm. over and over again, like going in and out. And so like, it never quite established a rhythm. It also ended on like the really heavy developer stuff and the AI ethics stuff, which, oh, cool, sure. Oh my God, Jules, edit that out. Edit that out. Save everyone time, edit that out. It ended on a joke about how much they talked about AI, which was funny in the moment. And then the show ended and it was like, oh, that was it. There was 10 minutes left that they could have used for this keynote. It was 11:50 local time. And it's like, all right, Sundar's back on stage. We're setting up something new. Nope, we weren't. We were leaving. Like, we were filing out to go eat lunch in the press tent. And
right.
Yeah, I really think this was not the show they needed to put on, or at the very least was not built to be the show they needed to put on.
No, and like I'm fine. Like, I mean, I have to be fine with AI being a focus for them and Gemini being a focus for them, because like that's the direction they're heading. They're
right.
Obviously not going to pivot away from that anytime soon. And I'm not opposed to it if they give me good, clear examples of, hey, here's how this AI feature or this Gemini feature is going to, you know, these apps on your phone more useful or make Android more useful or add new features and stuff. And there were a couple of examples here and there that
yes,
we'll get to, but the overall theme from it, really, I didn't get that feeling from it, from the show as a whole.
Yeah, it honestly, a lot of it should have been saved for the developer keynote that was held that afternoon. Like, that was,
yeah.
It felt like we were in that conversation, which it's, you know, Google has established, and as has Apple, and WWDC is less than a month away, but like, these companies have established that the main keynote of their developer events are not just for developers, they are for everyone. Last year, we had 30 minutes on new hardware. Like, that's not out of, you know, think about how many products have launched at I.O. in the last decade and, or, you know, even decade plus, like let's go back to 2010 and beyond. And I think there is a assumption by not even the general public, but by enthusiasts in general, that there will be something tangibly new at these events. And instead it was 2 hours of coming soon, coming later this year.
Coming soon on video and DVD.
We are working on over and over and over again in a way that I found very, you know, I think we'll look back on this event in a year and be like, half of this hasn't shipped or hasn't shipped in the way we thought it would, because Google's windows for launching these things are so wide open that it's very likely a lot of this stuff slips, you know, into 2025.
Yeah, that's a good point too, which is funny because I don't know what year Google I/O it was, but there was the kind of like magic eraser before it was magic eraser, the demonstration of erasing the fence in front of your kid's t-ball game or whatever, and like that was the one we point at and laugh at, of like, oh well, now we don't because magic eraser is a thing, but you know, Google showed that off and it was years before it was a thing, and that was one specific feature. And I think you're right, where many of the things they talked about here are gonna be similar situations like that, where we're either they don't come to fruition at all, or they do, but not the way they were demonstrated. And
The alternate thing here is that it is possible that some of these tools are waiting for new hardware, right? Like, we saw this last year. We saw Google demoed AI wallpapers on Android, and they said it's coming later this year. And I wrote about this. You can go read the piece on Android, please. But they said AI wallpapers are coming to Android later this year. And what they really meant was it's coming to the Pixel 8, because those are the only phones that app shipped on. They demoed it on a 7 Pro last year, but it is not on the 7 Pro. Google's tech is kind of on the S24, but that's its own thing. But the exact tool that they showed off a year ago is only on the 8, 8 Pro and 8A, or it's getting added to the 8A with launch. And I think that had they put ATs in that 10-minute window that they had, as they did with the Pixel 7 2 years ago, I think it's a different conversation. You have an anchor that you can point to and be like, some of these features will launch on many devices, and some of them you will see much more of this fall at Made by Google with the Pixel 9.
Yeah. I mean, the being able to generate a Gemini image and drag and drop that into Google Messages, that wasn't a big jumping out point for you? You don't think that's Google's big anchor for AI features on the Pixel 9?
I don't. I mean, it's one of the coolest things they showed off was a new tool for Gemini Nano on Android that monitors your phone calls with unknown numbers to watch for specific language used in scams, bank scams, etc., to basically buzz your phone and alert you like, hey, a bank wouldn't ask for this information. You might be getting scammed. And I'm pretty sure that when they say that's coming later this year, they mean that that will be on Gemini Nano on the Pixel 9 series. And that's what it's going to come to.
Mm-hmm.
If they had anchored that, right? Like, it's a lot easier to point to that stuff and be excited about it. And it's not so easy when that stuff isn't there and you have to make those assumptions, as I am making those assumptions with both you and the audience right now.
Right. And then, I mean, it's also messy because maybe that will be a Pixel 9 thing. Maybe it will come to, the Pixel 8 series. I mean, we had the whole issue where Gemini Nano wasn't going to be on the regular Pixel 8, and now it is, and Nano is also on the 8A, so maybe Google says that feature is only Pixel 9, and then it comes, trickles down to other Pixels down the road like it.
Right.
I mean, that's a whole other issue of fragmentation we don't need to get into, but there's also that kind of cloud hanging over it.
That's its own podcast in and of itself. So let's talk about some of the stuff that we did like. You know, that's kind of our big picture take, I think. They started the show off, I think, on a high note with Gemini coming to Google Photos.
Yeah, that was of the Gemini things that were announced, which there were many.
Yes.
This definitely was the one that caught my attention the most and was like, oh, this seems like something that was designed for humans and could actually be helpful and useful. Yeah.
I use search and photos all the time to find specific photos without having to remember the date or the location. And it honestly does an okay job as it is right now, right? Like, I can type in, like, I just did this recently. I typed in backyard and it surfaced images of what it assumes is my backyard. And most of them were correct. And I think this tool will just take that to the next level and make it so that I can be like, my backyard in winter in 2022. And it will be much more granular as it pulls that information up.
Yeah, I think this is also helpful. I think Taylor, somebody wrote an op-ed for you recently about how just like Google Photos library is like a complete mess, which I can 100% relate to. Like, that is also my issue. I've taken many weekends to try to organize it and clean up the clutter, but it never works long term. So this seems like a good way to try to combat that, where if I'm looking for, like you said, that specific example of your backyard, or if I want to look up, you know, a photo of my dog with a birthday hat on for one of his birthdays, like if it can know those more specific queries and be able to handle those more complex questions, which I agree with you, the current search functionality works like 9 times out of 10 for what I want it to do, but for those much more specific or granular requests like the demo Google showed off of what's my license plate number, and it knows, you know, if there's a photo of a license plate in your library, it knows which one to pick out. I don't know how often those scenarios are going to come up, but when they do, it seems like that's going to be really, really helpful if I need to use it for something like that.
Yeah. As you said, Taylor Kearns wrote, it was a little over 2 weeks ago now, both wrote, my Google Photos library is getting to be unmanageable, and yesterday published, Ask Photos is the AI-powered Google Photos tool I've been waiting for, as a follow-up to that. But I can tell you, sitting in the stands with Taylor, he basically leaned over and whispered, like, this is what I've been asking. I literally just asked for this. And, like, they did it, which is great. None of us knew that that was coming. Mm-hmm. I certainly didn't. And so, yeah, I think they really started it off with a high note. And it got a little muddier from there, as we mentioned. But, like, this was, I think, an excellent example of how Gemini will actually make an impact on how you use your phone every day.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm less sold on Project Astra. Not in such a negative way. I think it's a really cool demo. I just think that it is very clearly much more of a work in progress. And both you and Taylor wrote editorials about your time trying it out. That both of them will be in the show notes, so go read those. Both of you were very impressed, but not without some skepticism, just enough to be cautious. Right.
Yeah. The tech is very cool. Like we were in the same.
We should talk about it first. We should talk about what Project Astra.
That would also be helpful.
Yeah. Is it unfair to say that it is essentially what Humane and Rabbit were trying to do?
I think that's probably the best way to put it. Honestly,
it's a new era of AI assistant that uses the camera on your phone or smart glasses were highlighted as well. But I believe the demo is with a phone. To identify things around you, to remember things. It can play Pictionary, which is fun.
It can, very well, surprisingly.
Yeah, so like there are only a few use cases right now, but I do think the tech they're using, which feels a little bit like Gemini plus Lens, but that's underselling it a little bit, is probably the best example of this we've seen yet, I would say. Is that fair?
Yeah, because like the vision stuff is cool, but also in the demo I saw, what kind of stuck out to me was just how natural and back and forth the assistant part of it was, like, it speaking to you. We had one part of the demo where the person on the Project Aster team was showing us the Pictionary demo, and the way ours was set up, it wasn't running on a phone. There was, it was technically running on a laptop, and then we had a big touch screen behind us and with a camera pointing down, and it was a just a bigger visual of it. And the Aster team member was drawing a stick figure on the screen and was explaining to us, like, I'm drawing a stick figure now. And unprompted, Aster was just like, that's a good stick figure. And just, like, it was like a little friendly assistant that, like, it was such a small moment, but it wasn't like the person asked, you know, hey, Astra, what do you think of this? Or what do you see? She was just talking with us in the room, and Astra just jumped in and was like, hey, this looks good.
Yeah.
It stuck out to me as, like, it was just such a quick, casual thing, but it just, it added not a sense of humanity to it, but it just made it feel more personable than the rabbit or the humane gadgets have kind of felt. And, like, the accuracy of it, like, the visual recognition was cool, too, because after she drew the stick figure, she put a skull emoji in its outstretched hand, and she asked Astra to interpret what play it was supposed to be, and, like, immediately Astra's just like, I think this is Hamlet, which is, it's cool. Like, the demos were very impressive. I don't know real-world scenarios. Like, I don't want Astra to just play, you know, Pictionary, or to have it speak to me in alliterations. And, like, I get Google's doing those demos because they're kind of cute and they're a good way to show off what it can do. I'm not looking forward to it for that reason, but I think the tech that they demoed is impressive enough where I'm very interested to see how they incorporate that into something more useful, like a Gemini assistant on your phone or another pair of Google Glass maybe one day that has this in there where I can, like, just speak naturally to it of, like, hey, looking at this thing, add it to my calendar, or do this thing for me, or do that thing for me. There's very clearly still a long way to go before we get there, if we ever do, assuming this is kind of the end goal for Google with Project Astra. But yeah, the foundation, I think, is solid, but it's definitely going to be a long time before this amounts to anything beyond these Pictionary and storytelling and alliteration demos, which are cute, but not really useful for day-to-day stuff right now.
Yeah. Were you in the same demo group as Taylor?
Yep, we were in the same one together.
Cool. So in his piece, and in perhaps in yours, I have not read all of it. Sorry, Joe.
Wow, Will.
in talking about a demo called Freeform, which we should say is the Google rep placing several animal toys on the table, naming them, telling Gemini what the names are, and then remembering details like the names, being able to come back to, like, what was the first thing I showed you? Astra hallucinated, as Taylor points out, misremembering one of the toys' names.
Mm-hmm.
And as cool as all of this is, right, they need to fix that, right? Because, like, the second it hallucinates, it misremembers a detail, I, as an end user, am like, this thing can't remember that my kid's favorite toy is called X or whatever, right? Like, because they love Twitter. I'm not going to trust this thing with doctor's appointments, with remembering where I put specific documents in my house or something. Like, if it can't do the small things, if it's messing up things that are less important, you're not going to give it more important information to remember. And so it is a demo right now. It has projects in the name. It is a classic Google demo, but hallucinations are a problem with AI, and I think really holding a lot of people back, including myself, from fully trusting it with important aspects of our lives. And it needs to be just about perfect if I'm going to trust it, rather than pulling my phone out and setting a reminder with specific text, which is pretty much what this is now. Except the reminder is going to be whatever I specifically put in it, right? Like, if I set a reminder to, you know, actually, I did it on this trip. I had a reminder today to pay my credit bill because it's due on Sunday, and it triggered no problem. And would I trust Aster with that? I don't know. It might get the date wrong. It might misremember and say that I have to pay my taxes. I don't know. Which I do.
And IRS don't come after me. Not that Google needs, like, defending, but, like, to its credit, like, it is far from the only company with the issue of AI hallucinations. As someone who...
It is an AI issue over the entire industry. Like, yes. It is not a Google thing. Yes.
As someone who used and reviewed the Rabbit R1, that thing is, like, itself is just a big orange hallucination most of the time. So, and I don't know, like, when we get to that point, or if we ever do, where, you know, AI can work for these things, I don't know, 75-80% of the time, but that's still a lot of failure rate where it's not doing right. And that's maybe even being generous for some of these things. So it's probably going to be a long time before it gets to that 100% or 99.9% success rate. But it is cool tech, but that's a good reminder for reality of like, it's very much not ready for that sort of thing. If you ask it a very basic question of remembering these three stuffed animals and it's just getting one of those wrong. So yeah.
Exactly. I still don't want to talk about AI overviews. So instead, let's talk about Ask with Video, which is the, I would say, 22nd time Google has tried to convince me to use Lens. Is that correct?
Maybe 25th by now, but...
25th by now, yeah. Ask with Video is essentially a way to point your camera at something, and I believe the first demo was a skipping needle in a record player, right? And be like, what's wrong with this? And Google Lens, is it powered by Gemini? powered by Gemini. It feels like everything is, and yet I'm terrified that there's like one thing that's like not, and they're gonna be like, what the hell, Will? Like, why did you think this is powered by Gemini? It's obviously not. We brought Bard back just for this one thing. You know, it's using Gemini to like translate your like normal question of like, what's up with this thing, as well as, you know, details it's gathering from your phone's camera in a multimodal way to identify the model of the record player and the issue that you're pointing at it and all that, to give you an answer that in theory should be correct and help you in a way that maybe you wouldn't be able to type into Reddit, right? Like, maybe you don't have the correct vocabulary to ask what's wrong with something.
As someone who very much does not use Google Lens, this seems like maybe a more interesting way for that tech to work. Again, though, I think it was The Verge who pointed out first where the demo that Google showed for this of the broken...
I just pulled this up. So I was demonstrating, you know, the good example. A few minutes later, in a sizzle reel, as The Verge calls it, Google redemoed video search using a stuck film advance lever on a film camera with the query, why is the lever not moving all the way? I'm reading from The Verge at this point. And the answers that it gave are incorrect. It suggests to remove the film, which is you shouldn't do in a film camera. I'm not reading from The Verge. That's just the thing I know about film. I mean, this comes back to hallucinations, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many times have we seen AI give advice that sounds right, but because these are truly just chatbots that are essentially guessing the next thing to say, they're very wrong.
Yeah. It's maybe not a huge deal for, you know, the example of the film camera, but I mean,
it would ruin your film. Like, it would not be good. Yeah.
You can imagine much worse scenarios where if you are using this for like a plumbing project in your home, maybe, and it tells you to do one thing and then you really, really screw something up with your kitchen or your bathroom, or if you show it my leg hurts, or if you're trying to like diagnose a medical problem, which sounds like a horrifying thought, and it gives you incorrect information there.
You could point it at an open wound and be like, is this infected? And Google's like, nah. And then you're
fine.
Dead 2 days later.
Yeah. I think the tech is interesting. It seems like maybe something that would get me to use a lens more, but also maybe I'm just being optimistic about it. But the fact that like just in the demonstration Google showed off, like immediately somebody was able to find like, hey, it got this wrong. Not that it can't get better, and I'm sure it will, but any situation of AI getting something wrong, like if that happens so many times and it keeps happening, which it very much continues to happen since AI has been a thing, it just leaves that sense of doubt where it's like, maybe this is right, but if I have to, you know, do a Google search to confirm myself that what Lens or Gemini or whatever told me the answer to make sure it was right and isn't just lying to me with a straight face.
Right.
That's always going to be at the back of people's minds, I think, for any of these things. Or maybe not. And maybe that's a scarier thought where people less into this field are just going to trust it willingly and assume it's correct, which is a horrifying thought. So
yeah,
who knows how this is going to go.
I think we're already seeing that. I think there is some blind faith there that will mostly end in just, oh, that was wrong. Oh, weird. But in some rare occasions, it will end in much worse scenarios, I think. As The Verge points out as well, we should mention that this is the second time Google has made a demo not even a live demo, but a sizzle reel of its AI features getting answers wrong. There was the James Webb Space Telescope example last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that perhaps Google should be watching these videos. I don't know. Like, the fact that this has happened twice, right? Like,
but it's still weird.
Exactly. That quote. I'm conflicted about why and confused about why Google is not watching these reels closer. Like, why they are not. If I was producing a reel of an AI feature giving AI powered answers, I would study every answer in the video closely to ensure one, it's correct, and two, it's not plagiarized, both of which are common problems at this moment with all AI bots, but certainly Gemini. And on one hand, I guess it's good. It's more honest that Google is not verifying these because it gives an example in a demo reel of how broken these features can be.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, I don't think the message Google is trying to send. I guess keep not doing that because it tells us where the technology is, but also you should be doing that.
Yeah, it almost kind of feels like a mini representation of just like their AI or like of IO in general, where they just kind of threw a bunch of stuff at the wall and kind of wanted to see what would stick. It feels like even in the marketing for these things, they're just throwing out so much so quickly, and maybe they don't have time to like double check that this is all accurate, or maybe they're blindly trusting that it's telling them the right thing because they trust the technology. Like, either way is not a good way to approach it, but yeah, it will be very funny if we are attending I/O 2025 and we have the same conversation about AI lying to us again. So I guess we'll see if that happens.
I think we will. I don't even think we have to wait that long. I think they'll probably demo some AI features made by Google in the fall where we will be having this conversation.
I'll talk about that with you then. That'll be good.
Very quickly, I really still don't want to talk about this, but Joe.
Will.
AI overviews are in search now. It's been in testing for a while as SGE, or Search Generative Experience, I believe. It seems to have been renamed AI Overview. It's live for everybody. It is at the top of practically every Google search you do. How do you feel about your job security at the moment?
Not good. I was at the airport waiting for my flight that night after the I/O keynote, and I was just looking up some general Google search terms of maybe some like how-tos or like evergreen articles we should write on the site that I just wanted to assign to some writers. And one of the search terms I put in there, I got a response of an AI overview just spelling out step by step how to do that thing. And it took up like a third or more of the top part of the Google search results. And if you do it mobile, it's like basically the whole screen.
Yep.
And I just kind of had a moment where I'm like, why would I bother writing this if Google's AI overview is just going to steal the content basically and do its own thing with it?
Well, it's sourced, Joe, kind of technically.
Oh, yeah. Everybody is going to click on the source links and not just trust the AI that it got it right.
Yeah. First of all, Joe's bosses, who I'm sure are listening, look at this guy working at the airport. Come on.
Yeah.
Hard work. Give him a promotion. Secondly,
thank you.
you're welcome. Secondly, I was pretty cold on SGE last year, I would say, primarily because I almost immediately, within several minutes of using it, found it plagiarizing my own content.
Mm-hmm.
Not even just like content in general, but like that review blurb for the A54 was the phone at the time, I believe. I was like, that sounds really familiar. Where did that come from? And it was like my hub for best budget phones. It was pulled directly from that. I was like, oh, I wrote it. That's why it sounds familiar.
No, Gemini or AI Overviews did, Will.
Yeah, of course. And by the way, I believe the link was like 7th or 8th in the citation list. So great job. I have not seen it improve over a year. I'm sure it has in the background. I'm sure it is better than like the result it was giving a full calendar year ago, but I don't think this is ready for prime time. I don't think people really want it. Like, I think people want a better search experience,
right?
As much as Google is asking or is on stage saying that people have never been happier with search, which I don't believe. But even Google's like suggested cards, right, that they have had forever when you ask an answer, I would say are inaccurate much of the time. And those are not AI powered. Those have been around forever. And literally just before this trip, I was trying to download offline playlists on Spotify onto the Pixel 8a that I was reviewing. And I finally hit, I don't know how this has this just happened, but I finally hit the offline device cap. And I know I was like, it's only five devices, but I'm like, I definitely have downloaded music on more than five devices. But I was like, okay. And I was trying to figure out the setting to remove, like, where do I go to remove registered offline devices? And first of all, Spotify doesn't make it easy. And secondly, the card that Google gave me, so this is not the AI, this was not SGE, this was before AI Overviews went live this week. The card Google gave me was a five-year-old YouTube video. It was a method that no longer worked. And that's not AI powered. And you know, maybe AI Overviews would be able to give me instructions that worked better, but it would most certainly be pulling from either a Reddit thread or a useful how-to. Frankly, I did not find the information in either of those. I just pecked around in settings until I found enough toggles and turned them off on other phones that it started letting me download music. So a complete failure on Google's part as a search engine, in my opinion. But it's really disappointing that they are pushing ahead with this when I have not seen a lot of positive feedback on it over the last year from writers and users. Like, I just don't think this is what people want from Google search. They want good results. And Google could be using Gemini and other LLMs that it wants to develop if it wanted to essentially read your query and use that information and use its knowledge base to surface better, more specific results the way we're seeing it happen in apps like Photos. And instead, it is more interested in using other people's content and using other people's work and rewriting it in some cases, not all, and throwing it at the top of the search bar in front of even its own sponsored links, right? To push the words written by real people further down the list. And I find it very frustrating.
Yeah. And it's, I don't want to get too lost in the weeds of like digital publishing and everything, but it's hard to think of a scenario where this gets better, because I mean, right now it's like it's already not doing a great job at it, and presumably it doesn't seem like a stretch to say if they keep pushing forward with the AI overview thing, like that will kill a lot of publishing websites. Like, it's going to decimate traffic for, I think, a lot of people. Like, that's not a far-fetched idea to think of. So
yeah,
if you get to that point and then you have people who aren't good writers and good sites who aren't publishing accurate articles, Google suddenly has less good data to pull from. And does it just end up recycling old information, or does it try to write an AI generated answer itself if it can't find the human article to answer it for itself? Yeah. So it just seems like a bad spiral of, this is not going to be good for publishers and websites and human writers, and they go away, and then that leads to AI Overviews potentially becoming worse and maybe just overviewing itself at some point. And it just seems like a very scary place to be in, not just for people like us who do this for a living, but it also seems like it'll just turn search into a horribly unhelpful and broken tool if this just keeps heading in the direction it's going right now.
I agree. Wow, that's such a bummer. That's such a bummer. I'm so sorry. I hope no one is... how do we rebound from this? It's not probably not by talking about video generation, right? That's probably not...
You're talking about Challengers for a little bit?
I'll tell you what. Challengers, a movie that I don't think VO could create.
Yeah,
guess on that. yeah, Google demoed some content creation tools on stage, including, I believe, VO was completely brand new. They had Donald Glover in a pre-roll video talking about it. That video, not generated by AI, as far as I'm aware. I don't have much to say about this other than the few samples they showed looked more impressive than Sora, I thought. But I would have to, again, that is certainly something we'll have to wait to see. This one is particularly weird because Sora, I feel like, is targeted towards, will eventually be targeted towards, like, everybody. And this one feels like much, they were like, oh yeah, we're talking to like Hollywood producers about how they want to use this or whatever, or like creators on YouTube. And I that is an interesting direction. I will be curious to see if like maybe it is a much more limited tool than something like image generation tools. Like maybe this is something they don't want to give to everybody.
Right.
Probably because it's expensive. But
which also kind of contradicts their pitch of like, oh, anybody can be a director. But if you're going limit this potentially, it's hard to figure out who this is ultimately going to be made available for.
And that's full speculation on my part. Like, who knows what they're planning on doing with this? You know, we didn't talk about gems.
We can talk about gems if you want to.
I don't. gems are like personal customized chatbots. We will see how this works. I think it's a cool idea, right? Like they showed a running coach that like is both positive but insisting that you get out and start jogging. I think that's a cool idea. I'll be curious to see what people find they can do with it when it is actually you know what, this one is rolling out to advanced subscribers, correct? So like I think it's coming sometime soon.
I believe so.
I would not pay for it. I don't think anything has convinced me to pay for advanced, but you know, I'm curious about that one. Gemini is all over Workspace now, or will be in the future. I believe it's coming to paid subscribers next month. Again, interesting. I was having a good conversation with Taylor in an Uber on the way back to our hotel about how much of the Gemini tool set that they showed off on stage in terms of like Workspace applications just kind of feels like a way to relearn how to use a computer. The Gmail stuff, right? Like finding results in Gmail. I have memorized how Gmail's filters work in search. I already know how to quickly pull up this information. It might be easier for regular people to learn how to use this stuff, but it is still learning how to use a computer in a very similar way as search filters. So I'm curious to see how normal people adopt this sort of tool set.
Yeah. I will just keep searching emails without AI. I think I will make it. I think I will strive on without AI helping me for my inbox.
What does it say about both myself and Taylor Kearns that we, coming home after several drinks at the bar, are like, you know what we should talk about right now? More AI.
It's in your brain.
It's in our brain.
You're not going to get it out.
And, you know, I mean, that's kind of like the top end stuff. There's, as we said, lots of developer stuff. There's lots of Android 15 stuff that they kind of announced on Wednesday. I think Daniel and I will get a little more into that next week just to keep the show from going too long, because I do eventually have to leave this hotel room and go to the airport. Before we wrap up, I did want to briefly mention that a day before I/O, OpenAI had an event where they released GPT 4.0, right? Yes, 4.0.
Sure, I think so.
I think that's how you say it. Both of us were flying when this happened, so like it is tricky to, you know, we did not see the events live. There's this new voice mode that is like 120% trying to be Scarlett Johansson and her. That's not speculation. Like it is. Sam Altman just tweeted the word "her" after the event. It's there. It's text. It's cool. Like that stuff is cool. I think 4.0. being so fast and free to all users is impressive, and in some ways would certainly cast a shadow on I/O. Although the conversations that we were having with people after I/O were all about the 2 hours of the show. I did not hear a lot of people bringing up OpenAI or ChatGPT 4.0 in the hours immediately following I/O. I don't know if it was different for you.
I think I talked about it with a couple of people. It didn't seem like the overall vibe, like,
yeah,
it didn't really impact it. Like from my point of view, like personally, it's a little easier to point at that to like a quote unquote normal person and be like, this is an example of how AI can be interesting. Like that demo, at least. I think the her comparisons are silly and tired, but like, it is impressive, like how it works in the demonstration, and that I think for some people is easier to understand why this is cool compared to Gemini gems or inbox tools like that. But it didn't seem like the vibe at I/O was overly concerned with what OpenAI was doing with that stuff.
Yeah, I agree. And that's about it for what I wanted to talk about, unless you want to re-engage our argument over the Mark Rebele opening DJ sets, which myself and Taylor both enjoyed, and I believe you were in the boat of people who did not enjoy it.
I was more in shock, I think, because I did not know who, was it, yes. Mark Rebele? Is that yes. his name? I didn't know who he was. And I was sitting next to Dean, and I don't think he knew who he was either. And we were just kind of shocked with our like mouths open of like, what is happening? Who is this right. person?
Right. And both myself and Taylor knew who he was. Taylor saw him even like, I feel like Mark went viral online a lot during the pandemic. Taylor had seen him live in like a basement show in 2019. Yeah. He showed me photos of it. I do think if you knew his shtick, it played a lot better on stage. If you didn't know his shtick, I could see finding him. But being bewildered, I think, is a fair thing to say.
I think I in a setting not 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. in the morning at a Google developer conference in a any setting other than that, maybe I would get it more. But that was a shock.
Some of us woke up at 5:30, had two cups of coffee, and went for a run in the hotel gym. So I was ready to go. I was hyped up for it.
I'm very happy for you. I was not there, so my hat tips off to you, sir.
Is there anything else you want to talk about at I/O? Even just not on stage. Anything about the experience being there? It was your first time. It was my second. One of the few times that I have been to a thing before you. Anything you want to highlight about your time in Mountain View?
That Mountain View is a little chilly. Gets kind of cold. Shoreline Amphitheater.
The sun's warm. The second the sun is gone, you're like, oh, it's actually only 60 degrees here. The sun raises the temperature by 15.
Yeah. Little chilly. Shoreline Amphitheater is massive. I didn't realize just how big it was going to be.
Yeah, you and I are going to go see the Imagine Dragons there in October.
We are. We're not going to go to the Bills-Lions game. We're going to go see Imagine Dragons at Shoreline.
God, we could make this a football podcast, Joe, you and I. And,
we could. No one's here to stop us.
The audience will write in and rebel. But Joe and I have long bonded over our love of football and our respective teams in the Bills and the Lions. So, but we won't do that. We won't. We will keep it to ourselves. We will spare people from sports talk. That's not why you're here. I/O is such a strange event. I feel like there's nothing else like it, and it is kind of an all-day thing, and yet it is like, it feels like you're running a marathon. It's crazy. Like, it's a strange beast, even as far as, like, both you and I covered CES and MWC this year, which are bigger, longer shows, and yet I still find myself going back to my hotel after I/O and being just absolutely exhausted.
Yeah, it's a big one. I am very glad I did it, even though this year's show was maybe not the most interesting or stand out to me. It was still very fun to be there in person, and the vibe in the seats at Shoreline, like, you can't replicate it from the live stream. So
definitely,
hopefully, I will see you at I/O 2025.
Yeah, I should. I mean, I don't see why I wouldn't, unless Google gets really mad about my thoughts about AI overview, and it's like, your invite, it got lost in the mail.
Gemini lost it.
Yeah. I think that's it. I think that's the show. I think we did it. What is that, an hour?
That's a podcast.
That's a podcast. That's what we in the biz call a podcast. Joe, thank you for coming on. Truly, always fun to talk to you. I love that we get to hang out at these events. You are a dear friend of mine.
Too kind.
Where can people find your stuff?
I, as Will said, I'm section editor, mobile at digitaltrends.com. So if you go to digitaltrends.com/mobile, that is what I'm in charge of. My name may not be in every article, but I'm running the show for the mobile section and kind of in charge of what we're publishing there. And I think we're publishing cool stuff. So
yeah, scrappy upstart Digital Trends really needs the AP podcast bump.
So I'm there. Then when I'm not doing work, I am sometimes on X, the everything app, at Joe Marin one. So
rest in peace. We didn't talk about it. Rest in peace to the Twitter URL. They finally, that happened this morning. I'm sorry. We do have breaking news. We do have breaking news, Joe. This is not a joke. We have breaking news as of 21 minutes ago.
Oh, no, what?
This Sunday. This Sunday, you can see Challengers in theaters, buy two tickets, bring a third for free with the tagline, make it a threesome.
Incredible. On that note.
So I will be buying two tickets, well, three technically, to Challengers, which I believe is we both loved. We should say, follow Joe on Letterboxd if you want his movie thoughts. Yeah.
I don't watch as many movies as Will, but I contrary to what some people say, I do watch movies, and I do log them on Letterboxd, so.
Yeah, I'm going to call you out right here, Joe. You need to watch Stop Making Sense on Max, the one to watch this weekend.
I desperately want to. I might have to do that this weekend.
It is the pick-me-up you will need. I promise you that. When you get back from, when you and your partner and whatever third you decide to bring to Challengers gets back from the movie, throw on Stop Making Sense. You'll have a great time.
It'll be a good movie for our new love triangle. I'm looking forward to it.
You can find me on X, the Everything app as well. I'm unfortunately trapped in hell. You can find me reading any and all thoughts on Megalopolis. I really wish I was in Cannes right now. That's really where I want to be, is watching the premiere of Megalopolis. You can find my writing on Android Police. I should have more next week. You know, the last couple of days, as I've been stuck in the travel hell I described at the start of the show, it has been tricky to find the time or mind space to hashtag create content. So, and then we should say next week we'll have Daniel Bader back. So we'll have much more to talk about next week. We will talk about all the Android 15 stuff. We'll talk about my Pixel 8a review, which you can go read right now. And otherwise, that's about it for this week. I hope everyone has a great weekend, a great week ahead of them if you're listening to this on Sunday or Monday. And yeah, thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
And Jules, you can cut what needs to be cut out of this. Yeah, so while I was waiting to take off in San Jose, because we were even delayed on the tarmac because no one knows how to pack luggage in a plane anymore, I got a notification on my phone that my flight had been automatically rebooked because the delayed flight to Buffalo had been moved up just enough that American Airlines decided, hey, you're not going to make it. We're not going to wait to find out if you can make it. We're just going to reassign you to the 6:30 p.m. flight tomorrow. Good luck. And nice. So I spent the plane ride trying to find a hotel near the airport. Funny thing about when there are lots of delayed and canceled flights because of weather is that most of the hotels are also booked. I did eventually find a room at the Marriott near the Dallas-Fort Worth airport, which is where I am right now on the 17th floor. Yeah, so we land. When we landed, the flight to Buffalo had been pushed back again to 9 p.m.
Oh, God.
it was 7:30, so I could have made the flight.
Incredible.
But American Airlines had already canceled my seat on the flight. I exit the flight, and Joe, you don't know what I'm about to say. This is going to be your live reaction to
it. I'm nervous.
I stop at the gate. I ask the gate manager where my checked luggage is, and they say, it will be on the baggage claim that we were assigned in Dallas. I say, okay. I leave the secure part of the airport. I go through the point of no return doors. Approximately 12 bags are actually offloaded our plane. Mine is not one of them.
Of course it's not. Fantastic.
So I check my bag tag. It says that it has been loaded onto a plane headed to Buffalo.
No.
I get in line at the support line. It is about 8:00. The flight has not taken off.
Uh-huh.
The way Dallas is set up is that I am legitimately just on the other side of a wall of the terminal. Mm-hmm. I'm not like in a different section or a different floor. I can see the gate I got out of. As if it's just laughing at me. I wait in line, because it's a very long line, for about 15 minutes. I ask the bag assistant where my bag is, and I am reassured for a second time that my bag is in Dallas. What the bag tracker is saying is that it is being held for that flight tomorrow, because it's the same flight number.
Right.
It's being held for that flight tomorrow. I cannot get my bag because it will be a 4 to 8 hour process, and it is 8 p.m.
Oh my God.
Somewhere between midnight and 4 a.m.
Excellent. This sounds like a great travel experience for you.
Yes. At this point, I am very tired. I was feeling very sick. I had not slept much the night before. And I say, okay, well, I'm going to head to my hotel. I tried to use the shuttle service that Marriott offers. The shuttle never showed up, or I was in the wrong spot. One of those two things happened. But after half an hour, I did call an Uber. So sorry to my employer, but I will be expensing that. I did try the free service. It did not work. I checked into the hotel. I got some okay food from the restaurant here. It honestly tasted like the food you get at an airport. And was about to go to bed. It was midnight local time. And I said, hey, that Buffalo flight definitely landed a few minutes ago. Let me just check my bag.
Mm-hmm. I'm so scared.
And it says offloaded in Buffalo.
God. Thank you, American Airlines.
So I called the airport. They said, yeah, it'll be in an office by the bag carousel. You can get it when you land tomorrow. And I say, okay. And I go to bed. And I wake up and I'm still feeling very anxious about this. So I try calling the airport again and I say, can I talk to the office that was, because I figured no one, or they're probably, my chances of talking to someone at 12:30 last night, low. My
right.
chances of talking to someone at like 9 a.m., high.
Slightly
right?
better.
You would think, yeah. And they give me a number. The Buffalo Airport gives me a number to call that office and the number doesn't go anywhere. It's got a Cisco phone tree and it asks for an extension and... when you say, can I view the menu of extensions? It says no. So I did have my mom, who lives about an hour away from the airport, drive to the airport. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my mom.
Thank you, Will's mom.
Shout out to moms everywhere. Happy belated Mother's Day. My bag is at my house in Buffalo.
Well, there's a happy ending.
It's a happy ending. I'm not there.